Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Okay, welcome, dear audience, to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Michael, are you there? And Professor Rabbani, are you there?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Welcome. Sorry for the technical delay. We are back online, and we still have an hour to present. Sister Nala said she won't be doing her 50-year planning today, so we'll be able to present. He made a little announcement during Imam Kareem's program. So we were discussing the mothers and the importance of that role, and we were looking at the various aspects, and I thought it was very interesting, you know, when the Imam expounded on it in the earlier program. He expounded on the topic of the woman's arham, and he really took it into a level that I hadn't given consideration. Again, when he took it to the level of even in the material world, he mentioned he was a welder, and I'm familiar with this concept as well. In the mechanical world, there's the concept of female and male, where the female connector has a female characteristic and the male connector has the male characteristic. And, you know, and they call it, they will identify, pass me a female connector, or pass me the male connector, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even in the material world, that language has translated over male and female. So, but the role of the woman as the receptacle for the seed and for life to be formulated is such a powerful concept, and we see it in scripture, we see it in representation of community, et cetera, et cetera. So we want to just explore a few of those ideas and commemorate our mothers today. And we invite the mothers to call in if they would like to make a comment. This would be an opportunity for mothers to speak, but we hope that our males will also call in and commemorate and share some great comments about their mothers, et cetera, et cetera. Professor Rabbani, would you like to share?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salamu. God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We witness that there is no God worthy of worship besides Allah, the one and the only who created the heavens and the earth and all that is in between. And we be able to speak concerning mothers and Mother's Day. And we also witness that Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, in which the Quran was revealed, is the seal of the prophets and his messenger and servant. So we are given the Quran, and we throughout the Quran it speaks about the role of the mother. In fact, one of the chapters is called Al-Nisa, or the woman. And Allah reminds us to be heedful of the wombs that bore you. For Allah is ever watchful over us or over you.
Yeah.
And Allah speaks the truth. So when we talk about the concept of male and female, out of the male and female, we, through sexual intercourse, there's born a child. And when we look at the way in which the mother has gone through the pain and struggle to bring forth that child into the world, it means that that person is special and has mutual rights, and that person has a tremendous responsibility to give that child nourishment. The mother is designed by God, created by God, to provide the essentials and the basics for that child to come into the world and be one of the first teachers, or the first learning lessons that child experiences through his five senses. He doesn't know his mother until he tastes her and hears her and smells her and feels her and hears her. His five senses connect him or her to the main element called mother. And that mother has a disposition based in her creation and her makeup to feel sensitivity and concern and to protect that birth of that child. And that's one of the attributes of what mother to me, again, and how it impacts how the Quran gives us this this idea on the value of mother. Okay.
Well, Professor, please share with us something about your mother, Ms. Gladys, and we know she's very, very elderly and still with us. So please share and please commend her and give her my best regards on this Mother's Day as well.
I will do that, Alhamdulillah. Well, my mother was the first child of 16, and she is now 103 in a nursing home, right? But still very vivid and talkative and having a exceptional memory. And I could tell you that I always make my du'as for my mother and father every five times or maybe six times a day, because as you grow older, you see the value of the concerns, and you understand the way in which she raised me and my brothers and sisters. And it was a method born in having survival, giving us survival skills. One of those skills is to be, first of all, obedient. When she says something, you do it, or you get the consequences. Now, I know that in this day and time, people, when they discipline children, they have all kinds of passive methods. Well, my mother didn't have passive methods. She gave you a warning, and then she came down on you if you disobeyed her commands. And she didn't have much time to play with you or to cult, but what she did was develop in you a sense of respect, urgency, and once you got older, you then understood that the reason why she was very disciplined on you was because of the way society is today. She didn't want you to end up in jail or drugged up or alcoholed up or beat up or beat down. She instilled that in my brothers and my brother and sisters. So we came up tough. She came up tough. She had to take care of all those children that my grandmother had, and then still farm. So she had very excellent mother wit and practicality put in, and she became a practical registered nurse while doing all that. And my father complimented her. And he had two jobs. One job was to work at the steel mill for 30-some years, and the second job was to develop his farming skills by growing gardens for distribution in the community, for sale, and for what we refer to as charity. So, and my mother did not play. She didn't even play the radio. And I can bear witness to that, because she made me what I am in terms of my sensitivity to excellence and competitiveness. I didn't want to disappoint her, and by doing that, that drove me to be excellent or strive for excellence in whatever I did.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Professor. And, you know, so wonderful to commemorate, you know, our mothers, and even potential mothers. We want you to be also realizing that what an important role that is. And this is important, as Michael said earlier, because of the way the mothers have been diminished, the female role has been diminished in the thinking of the society and the religious community. And, you know, I've heard people take the worst examples that they can find of Muslim societies where they're patriarchal, meaning that the men are running the society and may be abusing the women. They bring in Afghanistan, Iran, et cetera, where you see bad examples of the treatment of women. But you also see in this day and time, as Michael referenced a little earlier, that Allah is really moving to bring about more equality in terms of making the men understand the importance of the role of the woman in society. So this is a new day. I think we are going into an era where we're going to have better communication in that regard. So, Michael, do you have anything you want to share? Again, we have a new hour. I'm not sure when that hour started, but it started once we called back in. I'm not sure of the time,
yes,
but keep us abreast of that, please.
Yes, sir. We're just about 10 minutes into the program, and I'm reflecting on some of the things that my mother passed on to us. She was the mother of five children. I'm the oldest of five. And, you know, we ate a lot of chicken, you know, and chicken wings, you know, chicken wings and what have you. But we would eat the legs and the thighs. But every time we sat down at the table, and it was mostly my two brothers and myself, early on, my mother would fix the chicken, and I see she for years she ate the neck and the back, and I had a chance to spend before she and my aunt, her sister, passed. They lived together. I had an opportunity for about 3 months to just spend some time with them, and I thank Allah for that. And I said, well, Mama, you know, because I, you know, later on in life, I began to eat necks and backs. You know, I like the breast, you know, and the thighs. But I would ask, I said, well, you know, you would eat the back and the neck. And I said, well, did you really like necks and backs? Because there's not a lot of meat on there. You know, she said, no, I had three boys. Three growing boys. So I chose to eat the neck and the back because these three growing boys had to eat, you know, they needed some nutrition, you know. So she just, you know, just matter of fact, you know. And the other memory that I have of Miss Teresa, Miss Ethel, and Miss Estelle, my grandmother. We called her mother, called my grandmother mother. And all three of those women, garnered respect and demanded respect. Whether, you know, black or white, you know, young or old, you know, they were in the community and on their jobs, they were Miss Estelle, Miss Ethel, and Miss Teresa, you know. And I remember being behind my mother before I started school. We were staying at my grandmother's house, God bless her soul. And all three of her children stayed at her house for a short time. And my mother and my aunt Alma was sitting on the porch watching the children come home. But they wouldn't allow children to be fighting one another. So my mother would break up one little rascal, you know, he wanted to fight somebody, and he wanted to talk back. He said, look, I don't play with children. You go get your mama, you know, but I don't play with children. Mm-hmm. She didn't know she would get right into his stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't talking like that, you know. She was a regulator.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I was, they had a way of they had a way of doing things. Yeah. I would share, you know, I found a document. I was going through my grandmother's papers, and I found a document where my grandmother had a license, a city license in 1955. She had a bed and board, you know, where she had a rooming house where she would make breakfast for working men, et cetera.
Yeah.
Coming into town, and I found this license, you know, and I had two of my grandmothers in particular. My mother worked two jobs as well, but my grandmothers, they were business minded. They were very business minded people. So, you know, I must have inherited that, you know. I must have inherited that spirit, you know, because
yeah.
They would bake, and my grandmother on my mother's side, she would bake and make cookies, candy, frozen cups in New Orleans, and have in living in the housing development, and all of the children would come there for those little treats, you know, and she would just I never see her making money. She just liked the idea of providing it for the children, and she would take the money she make and just reinvest it and keep that little entrepreneurship going. You know, you'd be visiting, I would be visiting her, and knocks would be on the door, and she'd open the door up. Children would be wanting a little frozen cup. And my grandmother on my father's side, which was right here in the town where I live now, just right not too far from where I'm living, had a bed and board. She would actually prepare breakfast and rent rooms, and had a license to do that in 1955. You know, and I said, "Wow, this is very interesting." That you know, we had those type of parents that were, and these were females. You know, and I often would think about how in the patriarchal society, their development allowed to grow as much as their potential was. The potential that God had put in them was not allowed to grow in the male-dominated society. But even in that regard, they established themselves and was able to function very, very well in a patriarchal society. So we are inviting all our listeners to call in and on this Mother's Day, and we'll take a break here and get ready for our listeners if they want to call in. If not, we'll circle back to you, Professor Rabbani.
Okay.
And share with us some thoughts. So you're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We are commemorating mother leadership, our mothers today in regards to holiday. That, and I'd like to say before we go off on the PSA, you know, in Islam, mothers are given importance every single day and in the society. But, you know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked the question, who deserves the most respect? And the Prophet said, your mother. And then the person asked again, who's next? And the Prophet said, your mother. And asked again, then who's next? And the Prophet said, your mother. Three times he said, the mother deserved it. And then the person asked, and then who's next, O Prophet? He said, your father. So three times he gave regards to the mother, and before giving it to the father the fourth time. So in Islam, this is a very important topic that we are talking about here in regards to, I wanted to give this Islamic connection so that we could, so that our listeners who I know they're locked and loaded, but that's their pagan holiday, Mother's Day, this or that. No. Mothers have every day in our faith and in our concept of the mother. Every day she has that importance, and that important role that dial, you listen to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. I'm your host, Lacey Umar. Here we have Professor Rabani Muhammad and Michael Habib contributing to this wonderful topic, mothers.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then, eventually, national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. Wonderful PSAs, and we are back with our Mother's Day program today. So, Professor, first let's check in. So, Michael, do we have any callers in the queue?
Not at this time. Your call is
okay.
Press 1 to come into the conversation.
Yes. So, Professor, please share with us some thoughts you may have on mothers and the importance of it, et cetera, anything you wish to share Islamically.
Yes.
I have.
When I look at the Quran gives us so much guidance concerning the mother and the family life, family rights. And you know, the mother has a very large scope. She has to deal with the marriage, her children, maintaining the home life, and developing, generally in the Quran, it gives rights that the mother has, even in or women, I should say, in terms of inheritance, and to be respected, and these ideas that find themselves coming into different cultures, and then they people think that that's a part of al-Islam, and they're not, like the way they. People are treated in certain areas of the world, and I have seen it with my own eyes, and how they've been degraded. And al-Islam came to uplift, because we have great mothers in the Quran. We have the mother of Moses. Look what type of faith she had to put her son in a basket and let that basket float down the river, because she believed in God and the protection that Almighty God would provide for her son to get away from a tyrant, to get away from oppression. Then you look at the mother of Esau, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, how she was berated because of the special position that God selected for her and her child to give guidance and direction to mankind. And then you see the mother of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and those that supported Prophet Muhammad after she passed away. So you see there are so many roles and so many tributaries that mothers play in the socialization of family life. So these are attributes that that young people, male and female, need to know to understand the gravity and the special place, like you said, when the prophet was asked about who should be taken care of first, your mother, and then your father. So that should tell you those three elements of family life, giving birth, and maintaining a marriage. Some of the I believe that's when I heard that hadith, that's what I thought about. Oh, this is one is maintaining a marriage, taking care of a family, and developing maintaining the relationships of all the children and educating those children. First educator, because civilization begins at the feet of the mother. And remember, Pharaoh wanted to save the female because he knew if I can corrupt her, I can corrupt the society, and I can maintain control over the society. So the female is also a target to be manipulated and used by corrupt society. And that's what mother but that mother wit, we have what is called mother wit. That's that learning, that first common learning that you get. And many people, I call it your first degree of education, motherhood. So mothers are very outstanding and important for the society. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and Professor, you were talking, I was thinking about how in the Nation of Islam, the earlier focus was on creating that positive image for our women and calling them queens, our black queens, for quoting some of the early language. How that strategy of defining the image and role of the woman was so important in the natural evolutionary development of bringing back consciousness to our communities and et cetera. So caller, please welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, assalamu alaikum. My name is Hamim Habib. I'm calling from Ottawa, Ontario. How are you brothers doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, excellent program, you know, and pertinent to the times, you know, since it's Mother's Day tomorrow, you know. I remember when I was a kid, you used to stand on the corner and sell roses. You know, if your mother was alive, you would get a red rose. If your mother was dead, you would get you would get a white rose. So, and that everybody did that. You know, everybody was proud to wear that flower on their lapel to celebrate their mother. Obviously, we were way past those times, you know. But I just wanted to comment. Imam Muhammad, rahmatullahi alayhi, he left us two very powerful ideas and concepts that will continue to allow us to affect policy and the culture, you know, as we develop more and more. And one was, you know, the mother's voice should be heard in society. So he said, let the mother's voice be heard in society. So, you know, we can take all those hadiths and the the Quranic instruction, and you can see how the Imam allowed us to be able to take that idea and then begin and make it practical for the society and then influence the society. And the other one was the Cirrus Committee, the Committee to Enhance the Role of Women in Society. Long time, 76, I think, came out with that idea. So you can see how both those ideas involve the mother. And, not many people go to attack a mother, right? It'd be very difficult for any type of satanic mentality or corrupt person to come out forcefully and attack mothers. So those are two ideas that we still are developing, and I think the Imam, again, was visionary in his pronouncements and in giving us a leg up. You can see how then it blunts the evangelical thrust in society. You know, if we develop those ideas and follow the logic to their conclusion, we take the leverage, so to speak, the political leverage and cultural leverage to be able to get our ideas across for the betterment of the whole society, including our own communities more specifically, since we have these outrageous abortion numbers in our community, you know. So I just wanted to make those comments, you know.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Let me appreciate it very much. Thank you. If you press one as you go out, if you want to come back in, press one and we'll hear more from you. Thanks for that. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
So, Michael, we have another caller?
Not at this time, no, sir. Again, we invite the audience to press.
Do you have anything you'd like to share, Michael, please?
Yeah, this is the topic. I'm reminded again, at near the end of my stay with my mother and my aunt back in 2015, I believe it was. And she passed in October of 2015. It was 2014 that I was up there in Washington, D.C. And she had a matter-of-fact way about, living and dying, And she would tell us this station. And I was sitting there and she was talking with her sister, Ethel, and she's talking about death. She said, we didn't come here to stay. And just a matter of fact, I smile every time I think about it, And just a matter of fact way, we live and we die, And I would joke with her because she had a habit of staying up at night at the dining room table, and she'd go through her magazines and what have you, and I'd joke with her. I said, okay, you're on the night shift tonight, huh? Okay. it's a different relationship, when you look at the various cultures, particularly the contrast between European cultures and the way that they interacted with their females. And you look at the Arab situation, the harshness of the land. It was unruly social life. They had certain standards, but they were very uncultured in so many ways. And the disregard for females was horrendous to the point where, if a man had a female baby, a child, a little girl, infant, that they would bury that child, take the child out into the desert and bury it alive. This is a part of the history that we read in terms of the social conditions before Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, received revelation. So by contrast, when you look at Africa, a totally different dynamic in terms of, in many places, the regard for the female, her place in the society. And it wasn't a situation where, the women were, a very essential part of the social life, you know, in many African societies. Africa is not one country, so there are all kinds of expressions of social life. We learned that look at the history of chattel slavery. Mothers did in terms of raising the children in very brutal and savage conditions, where the child wasn't considered, even a child produced by a slave master or one of his Caucasian males, but you know, the child of the slave master and the slave woman, you know, you look at Thomas Jefferson and his producing children by the Hemming sister. The disregard for that human life is still an issue. We got an issue today in relationships, because when you look at the early origins of this country, it's America the Beautiful and America the Ugly, you know, so to speak. You know, on the one hand, a disregard for human life, you know, and common humanity. And then on the other hand, you have language that says all men are created equal, acknowledging the creator and acknowledging the common humanity of us all. This is an interesting dynamic that's going on here in America. And, you know, mothers need to play a big part in the resocialization of our society. You know, I'll stop there.
And I'm reassured when I look at the progress that's being made, and also thinking about things and how time is a factor in the progression of society. You know, when we look at the growth that we've had in the period of time it's happened in, it's very short in the history of the world. You know, 70 years, 80, 100 years. That's not very long in terms of the history of the world. And when you look at the progress that we've made from the horrible traumatic experiences that we went through, you know, we are way ahead, but at the same time, the challenges of pushing us forward more is just greater right now because of the works of the evil forces. Professor, please share with us some thoughts you may have.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the when a person in Africa or in the Middle East, when that son comes into that house and the mother's there, he will come and he will bow down or kiss her hand when he comes into her room or into the room. That's one of the traditions in most African and Middle Eastern societies, showing respect. But the idea that there is a intended force setting out to destroy the not only the African-American community, motherhood, also the worldwide, and that is to seek the entertainment life over the domestic life of raising children, and the idea of aborting children in order to have that that quote-unquote entertainment lifestyle. So you have that as an evil influence that is destroying especially our community, because we see walking down the street a group of girls with baby carriages, all of them planning to have babies at the same time. And because they want to appease young men, and having no idea about the amount of time that it takes to raise and cultivate that child and the dimensions that have to be thought about. I was just I was also thinking about the time during slavery, chattel slavery, how men would be almost starved to death working on the plantation and having no food or a little food, that that his wife would have him suck her breasts for the milk to nourish him, to keep him alive. So you could see that was a powerful picture to bring to your mind, and the role, again, another dimension of the mother. So and then that also triggered in my mind the time when my grandmother on my father's side stood down white men who tried to come in the church and take one of the parishioners to lynch him. And she was the only one that went in and came outside and stood face to face with them and told them that they were not coming in there. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that I said, well, we didn't know that until I think my mother had told us that. One day I was sitting down recording these sessions that I had with my mother, poking her, and she would come up with remembrances of different activities that happened, but they didn't talk about it. Like, for instance, my other grandmother, her mother, they had a farm and they had cotton, had a cotton field of their own. And on the other side, there was Caucasian people who had cotton field, but they didn't have any manpower. So the Caucasian woman came across the road and instructed my grandmother to tell her children to go over to her land and pick the cotton. And my grandmother looked at her and he said, no, my children don't do that. And they have plenty of work here on our plantation or our planting area. And that woman came after my grandmother to rear up and want to take something to hit her with. And my grandmother knocked her down, that rifle. and that was like in the 20s, you know, where if you hit a white woman or a white man, you know, that's automatic lynching. So my grandfather was working in the field. He went and got his shotgun. And he was locked and loaded, ready for any retaliation.
Yeah.
And retaliation didn't come because they were ready to do battle. Just from that very arrogant fact that they can tell them what to do, when to do, on their land by their own children. So that's another dimension of the mother.
Yeah,
she's a warrior.
We had a traumatic time, and our mothers have been so strong for us as African Americans. That's such a, you know, it's almost a commonality that we could find those stories. We had courageousness on the part of the woman, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, to mention a few. Michael, did we have a caller? I thought I heard you say we had a caller.
Yes, sir, we do.
So let's get our caller in. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from, and please, we hope you're having a commemorative Mother's Day, and please share with us some thoughts you may have.
Assalamu alaikum. Rashid Salam, St. Louis, Missouri.
Alaykum as-salam, Rashid. Alhamdulillah. I did get those emails you sent me. Appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, this is always a special time for me when you start talking about mothers. You know, I lost my mother when I was 14 years old. She had 11 kids at the time that she passed away. I'm the third oldest at 14. So from 12 down, it was nine children when she left us. And, you know, it was health-related, you know. So, you know, that's why I'm so big on health care, because that was my beginning, recognizing that my mother left me at an early age. I wanted to know why. And I got into the health concepts on what happened. Now, what was wrong with what happened to her, you know. So in doing so, it brought me to a whole new dimension of understanding the importance of our women being healthy. You know, and, you know, this week has been one of those weeks that I'm in the process now kicking off a campaign, a national, matter of fact, an international campaign called Be a Champion for Women. When women when women lead, families succeed, you know. And, you know, we look around the world today and we look at all the people who are fighting their good fight. It's always women, you know. So one of our campaign T-shirts and wristbands are, we will never rise any higher as a nation until we raise our women in high esteem. Now, I can extend that internationally as well on saying, making that same thing. But we, in this country right now, there's 300,000 women a year missing. You know, every single year, there's 300,000 women who go unaccounted for. And 200,000 of those, there's almost two-thirds of those are women of color. You know, so it's a scary thought that we should be paying attention to, because if 300,000 women a year are going missing, you multiply that times 10. You know, that's our future, our generational, what we call generational wealth, is right there in those women being missing and what's happening to them. So it's a focus for me that I do. This whole program is about a campaign of bringing awareness to the importance of women. And I'm directing it at men, but at the same time, the proceeds from what we do, we're gearing it towards helping those women who are abused, or those women who are going through divorces, or returning citizens from the prison system, giving them a hand up to help them make the process and the transition through. So what all this means is that we as a community need to begin to organize ourselves a little bit better, and also begin to provide the help and assistance that our women are going to need, whether it's getting back to their families, whether it's, you know, making a change in the community to make their lives a lot better, but also offering that support that's essential and necessary. Because I know at that time when my mother passed away, I was a straight-A student. You know, right after she passed away, I didn't care about school anymore. I could care less about school, because I went to school so I could come home and get that hug. And I made a good grade, you know, that was so important to me. I was really doing it because my mother always hugged me and kissed me or whatever it was. Man, that was exciting. But when she passed, it took another woman, my auntie, to say, will you let your mother go? And that was like 20 years later. 18, 20 years later, she said, let your mother go, boy, will you? I said, what do you mean, auntie? See, you are still holding on to your mother, the pain that you went through that day, and you won't trust another woman at all in your life. And that was my whole trauma situation right there. It broke that chain of what I was going through. It wasn't what happened. It was what happened to me, not what was wrong with me. And I had to address those particular things. So I have a special time during this time period of addressing and helping and assisting. So that's my commitment to women, trying to provide a resource pool or educational awareness campaign to bring this attention consistently and constantly to why we should be paying attention to our women and helping our young girls understand the importance of what a mother is and so forth and so on. So I just wanted to say that, you know, and thank you so much for the time. And
Walaikum as-salam. And Rashid, while you are talking, my grandmother's business instinct is going off in my head. So I'm looking at, send me some of those T-shirts.
Yes,
I'm gonna make some profit off it.
You know, Imam Omar, this is Brother Rabbani.
Yes, sir.
The young man who was killed and choked in New York,
Yes, sir.
The reason why he was behaving the way he was behaving because he lost his mother.
I heard.
And he never
praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. That's a powerful story, Brother Rashid. We appreciate you very much. But
no problem. No. And I got it in four languages.
We want to help you with that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to help you with that campaign, man, because I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, the press releases will be going out in the next 10 days or so. And yeah, I got it in four languages. All money is good money, so I don't care. I got it in Spanish, French, Japanese, and English. So, I'm just asking for partnerships and relationships to get this campaign going. Let us really begin to realize that nobody in this world can bring a man and a woman to the world but a woman. So how can we dare disrespect that? You know, so alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Shalom.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it. Yes. So, Michael, any other callers in queue?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. So let's be back to you, Michael. You have anything you'd like to share?
Well, I just want to make note that we're at the top of the hour. I've got the 10 seconds, but we do have overtime, you know.
Yeah, and didn't I think we had a new time period? If we're at the top of that new time period?
Exactly, yes, sir.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. We appreciate that, and we do have overtime, so alhamdulillah, very good. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I wanted to share this. Early in Imam Muhammad's leadership, 1975, he started dealing with language and language environment, telling us a man means mine, woman means the womb of mine, and the like. He identified our situation, even though we were big brothers to many in the African-American community. Imam Muhammad noticed that we as men were having problems. You know, we were having problems in moving in the direction that he was pointing us to. And he asked the women to use their God-given talent abilities to help these brothers out. That's the language that he used.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the women, you know, moved on that, and they got some resistance. You know, they got some pushback. You know, we were pointed towards respecting our women, you know, and you used the language of queen, you know. I had forgotten about that kind of language came out of our nationalistic focus, you know, building a nation. But the idea of the committee to enhance the role of women, and then coming out of that, another organization, women, the national, I'm sorry, I can't remember.
International League of Muslim Women.
National League of
Muslim
Women.
Yeah, my wife Manero served on that as chair of that committee before. So I'm
it was very important as a way of giving that organizational structure to help our women help us, you know, by taking, you know, organizational structure led by women to help show the value of what they have to offer. And again, you know, there were some problematic issues in family life, because of some of the things that we were taught, you know, the black man is God and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was problematic. You know? I heard Imam Muhammad say his father had a way of using like nitroglycerin and I forget what the other element was, but one was soft and the other was very dangerous, you know, the nitroglycerin.
Yeah. Yeah.
His father, you know, and that teaching of Islam language, you know, had very volatile aspects to it, you know. And so we're still moving in the direction, you know. The Imam pointed us towards community life, and we can't have it without the recognition of mother leadership. You know,
and
I'd like to use that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for sharing. You know, as you, and I want to expedite our time because we're running out of time. So I was thinking about the organizations you mentioned, Service and International League of Muslim Women. They are still in effect. They're still in effect, and they are doing an excellent job of demonstrating the role of women in society in terms of and also how we view as and I'm talking about our ethnic identity of as being new Muslims and African American Muslims, how we view the role of women and mother in society. And you know, here we have a local group called SAS, Sisters with Aims in Serving Society. And they are doing an excellent job organizing food giveaways, clothing giveaways, et cetera, and scholarships, doing scholarships, you know, on a local women's level and having regular meetings, et cetera, et cetera. So we have these pictures of our women, of Muslim women, roles in society. You know, showing the results of how we view the woman's role in society. And I think that's important in this day and time when we have so many bad ideas floating around of girls not being educated, et cetera, not being allowed to go to school and not being allowed to have freedom of expression, et cetera, et cetera. So we have an important role to play to demonstrate how the religion of Islam really has not supported that type of those type of circumstances. So Professor, give us some final words as we get ready to close out this program.
I wanted to just mention the fact that the first Muslim convert was a woman.
Yeah,
and that it because of Sister Clara Muhammad and her sensitivity to hearing Professor Farad brought that message to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and thus was born the Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
So women, when we talk about honoring dignitaries, we should always mention those great women, the wife of Pharaoh was another one who overcame that false language and became a believer in the oneness of God while under the rule of a Pharaoh. So we have so many women who have blaze the pathway for man to establish himself in the in the world of production.
The hidden figures. Hidden figures is another one.
Hidden figures.
Another example. Yeah. It was exactly what they said. Hidden. They were hidden away from our view.
And they're still being covered up with the cloth and what they call just covering their face and their hands and the arms and all that heat, where the brothers they walk around cool in their white garbs, you know. Just oppressive.
Yeah.
It just don't make sense. I don't care what they think the Hadith said or not. Your natural intelligence ought to tell you, why would you want your wife to be in a oven while you are sitting in an air-cooled condition situation?
Because you don't trust other men.
I could talk on that all day, and I'm right about that.
Yes, sir. That's natural. That is natural. There's no argument with that.
I wouldn't put my mother in that condition for nothing.
Yes, sir.
You see, so Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah is the best knower.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Professor, for sharing. So, Michael, how are we looking? Do we have any callers, final calls for our callers? And we are getting ready to check out.
We have a caller, 779.
Caller, state your name. Where are you calling from? Welcome.
Hashim Kamal from Rockford, Illinois. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It's a report of my grandmother and my grandfather. You know, men used to be out working a lot. And these guys, white guys come out of town. I knew your husband in the house. Trying to get out of here. He come out three or four times. My grandfather's out working. And then one day, my grandfather stayed at home. I'm going to try to wait for this guy when he comes back. He came out of my mother's point. They were talking to him. My grandfather is. I begged him with a shotgun. Said, look, hurt you been talking wife, rough to my wife. Come again, I'm going to kill you. So talk to my wife like that no more.
Yeah,
thank you.
And we did have men who respected the mothers. You know, we had men who respected their mothers, and we still have them today.
That's right.
Thank God for that. Yes. So, Michael, any final comment?
No, sir. I'm just kind of bathing in this recognition of mother leadership and African American woman and the heroes we could take several days for this acknowledgement.
Yeah, we could.
But
yeah,
I'm thankful to God that we didn't have.
It's due to them, to our mothers. It's really due. Yeah, because they've been the backbone for us for sure. Yes. So thank you so much, Michael. Thank you, Professor. And we pray that Allah is going to bless all of the Muslim women who are mothers, the Christian women who are Muslim, who are mothers, and you know, I'm about to call the Christians Muslim, which they are. You know, if they are submitting and obeying God, they are Muslim, because Muslim means just submission to the will of God, and we all have to do it. We all have to do it. You know, at some point, we're going to reach that point where we're going to obey our Creator. And it may be at the last minute, the last breath we take, we're still going to obey our Creator. So, yes, that's the Muslim nature, is to be obedient to the